Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Bringing you updates all across the NCAA as we gear up for Selection Sunday and, of course, March Madness brackets right around the corner. Obviously, all kinds of quarters and semis and, oh my, all over the place. Joining us right now from Chicago, land of the Big Ten Tournament, is Mr. Gene Walker, who's going to update us on what's going on there in the Big Ten. Obviously, IU just coming off a huge win against Illinois in today's opening games, coming up 80 to 64 up there in Chicago. Gene, talk with us about, update us, bring us up to speed in March Madness update from the Big Ten Tournament in Chicago.
Yes, Tom, Gene Walker up here at the United Center right now. We're just, actually, Indiana is on the podium right now, so I'm out of that area. My voice would carry too much. Just being interviewed about the game that took place a little while ago. The game started out, both teams really couldn't do much. About 5-6 minutes into the ballgame, it looked like two grade schools had been playing each other. Very hard to get any points, very hard to get any going. And all of a sudden, Indiana got on a run, and it looked like they were going to leave the party for a minute. One point that I made about 8 minutes to go in the game was that Oladipo had just completely disappeared from this ballgame. He had 2 points with less than 7 minutes left to go in the game. And the moment I said that, he ended up with double figures, and he really was the thing that put the game out of reach, because without his points, Illinois was still hanging around in that 6 to 8 point range or so. It took him forever to get under 10 points. When they finally did, they had a stretch of either 7 or 8. They come down the floor and they start jacking up some really ill-advised three-pointers from way downtown. And he has the feeling that if Illinois could have grinded it out just a little bit more, this game might have turned out different. Instead, it looks like a blowout when it was all said and done. And so now Indiana moves on tomorrow to play in the semifinals. Not a huge surprise how Illinois was going to come in and knock off the Giant twice. Obviously a very daunting task. And Illinois had a first half today, much like they had a second half yesterday. They survived, of course, yesterday, not today, to be for sure. And we also talked about what was going to happen with Tyler Zeller. You know, and so goes him, so goes this Indiana team. When he's in his 20s, mid-20s, high-20s, they win. When he's not, they generally lose. And it's one of those things where he got off to a pretty decent start, consistent throughout the game. End up with around 24, 26 points in that area. I don't have a stat right in front of me. And it's just a big difference, the ball movement, the way the cream spreads out the court side to side, really running that offense within an inch of either sideline in the half court. Amazing what they were able to do today. Illinois not having the confidence to go downstairs and really go at Zeller. Don't know why, really, because I think that the pervasive attitude is if you go at Zeller and get a couple fouls on him, then you've got them in some issues. Illinois doesn't really have a lot of depth. I don't believe they felt like they could do that. I don't think they felt like that they had to basically stay away. And in fact, if their big men got out, then they would be doomed as well. So Illinois probably looking at going to the tournament. I don't know why they wouldn't make it. Indiana moves on tomorrow to take on the winner of game number two today, which is the seventh game of the tournament, Michigan and Wisconsin. And when you look at this game, Wisconsin comes into this ballgame down the stretch. They struggled a little bit, losing to Michigan State. before beating Penn State at the end of the year only by 3 points. Their last three games come into this game abysmal after having a pretty solid season. They've only played Michigan one time this year, that dramatic 65-62 victory up in Madison. And, you know, you look at Ben Burst, and Ryan Evans and Trayvon Jackson. That's the three-headed monster for this team. Trayvon has had six double-figure games, and so he's going to have a game similar to that. But Wisconsin, though not the stick in the mud that Ryan's teams have been in the past, looking to use every second possible for even attempting to shoot a ball, turning the stadium into a sort of a black-and-white arena in a bygone era. Not quite what his predecessor was in that area. They do move the ball some. They're going to have to balance that between that, of course, and a half-court game, which they do pretty well there at Wisconsin. Conversely, over on Michigan, they're just the opposite. I love Beilein's transition game when they get the ball out within 3 to 5 seconds, 6 seconds, a shot up hard away on the wing, whatnot. They're very good. Beilein's half-court game is bizarre at best, and I think Wisconsin is the perfect team to kind of, you know, muddy this game down some and make it difficult for them. I talked to assistant coach for Michigan before the game, Bell, who used to be at Iowa, and he's now at Michigan with Beilein, and he knows. And this is a game where the Michigan Wolverines absolutely need to get out in transition and do what they do best. And if they don't, they're going to have a hard time getting by this game today. They did struggle yesterday with Penn State, a Penn State team whose only win in the conference, I believe, was beating them. And up until about the 8-minute mark in that game, they were also in that ballgame with them, and Wisconsin can do it better than them. So you have to think Wisconsin has a pretty good chance of making this a real tough matchup for Michigan, despite the fact that they ended the season on a woeful note. Burke, Hardaway, Strauskas, and I believe Glenn Robinson are all in double figures as an average this year. It's a daunting task for any defense to have to worry about. So in this game coming up here in just a little bit, look for Michigan to try to run, Wisconsin to try to slow it down. Moving on to the third game of the day, we're really looking at Ohio State and Nebraska. Nebraska comes in as a 10th seed. They made the second round. Comment I made yesterday when they were playing Purdue, if you sleep on Nebraska, you'll lose. If you take them serious, you'll win. That's pretty much been the plight of Nebraska all season long. Not a real deep team, not a very great team or a good team by any stretch, but what they do have is two guards. Ryan Gallegos averaging close to 13 points, Dylan Talley averaging 14. They've won two of their last three games, so they've ended the season strong. And when those guards get going, they've got some girth down low in a 314-pound Alameda who gives up and down the court pretty good for a 314-pound guy. And they can cause you some havoc if they could platoon two or three guys down low and give problems to Ohio State's big man, Del Smith Jr., who's obviously had a great season, and other guys in there, and then maybe they stand a decent chance, but you have to think Ohio State is going to be in the driver's seat in this one. One interesting note to point out, Tom, though, after a 77-40 drumming of Nebraska, the second game they played, Ohio State won that game by only 7 points. So Nebraska saw something, did something, adjusted to something to make that a closer ball game the second time around, and it's going to be up to them to deal with the likes of, you know, Deshaun Thomas out of the Fort Wayne area, and Eric Braft, who's just a very pesky defender who gets out and makes things happen in the half court off steals and gets that transition game going for Ohio State. Ohio State ended the year real well, 8 of 9. They had struggled at times to deal with the graduation of certain players last year, halfway point during the season, not looking all that impressive, but they've been really good down the stretch. They certainly have the momentum going this ballgame and should probably have no problem with Nebraska, but we'll see. They're averaging 70 points a game. They're outscoring their opponents by around 12 points per game. And the last game tonight, probably maybe the most interesting game in a way, Michigan State and Iowa. Iowa managed to become a 6th seed in this tournament, the best conference in all the United States. They are firmly back in the talks to go to the NCAA tournament, a very weak non-conference schedule, a brutal conference schedule. Iowa has won 6 of their last 7 games. They sit over their 20 wins coming into this ball game. They are playing a Michigan State team that's won 5 of their last 7. And if you know anything about Michigan State, the one thing you know about is guard play is a deal for them as well. Gary Harris, Keith Appling, both very good, averaging around 13 points a game. Brandon Dawson, around 10 rebounds a game. That'll be crucial because what Iowa's been able to do lately is they've been getting better at keeping teams off the board, not giving them a ton of chances to score on them, as was the case at the beginning of the Big Ten season. Iowa started out playing 3 straight highly ranked teams to start the Big Ten season, and that's made them battle test where they are right now. I think the Hawkeyes are the true dark horse of this tournament. Michigan State and Iowa at that apex game, because Michigan State is much like Arizona Wildcats of the Lou Olsen days with the Pac-10, then Pac-10 tournament, Pac-12 tournament. They would come in knowing they don't need this tournament to go anywhere. They could take an early exit. They're still going to be a high seed. Michigan State sometimes goes to sleep in Big Ten tournaments. Sometimes they put the hammer down and blow through it. Which Michigan State team will show up tonight? Now, it's not the same team you get once they go to the NCAA tournament, because as we all know, Izzo's teams absolutely dig in their heels and go for broke once the big dance starts. But it will be interesting to see what they do tonight. Michigan State wins tonight and wins impressively. Maybe they just blow the tournament, win the whole thing. But if they sleep on Iowa, they're going to lose this game. And the reason for it is because Iowa had a game to play last night against Northwestern, used to the court. They got the shots, started hitting for them. They've kind of got used to the atmosphere a little bit here. If Michigan State had a flat half, then you could see that. Plus, Iowa did play one game very close. I had a chance to win it in Iowa City and just wasn't able to capitalize. Kind of the story of Iowa season. They've lost 6 of 9 games by 5 points or less. You think the committee is going to have to take some of these things in consideration when considering a team that is completely on the bubble at this point. So what we're looking at, folks, is a lot of teams that should be getting in from the Big Ten /14 conference, whatever we're calling ourselves now. This conference should have at least 8 teams. And as I said before, Tom, if the conversation, you know, moved back toward the Atlantic Coast Conference of a bygone era, or recently the Big East, or even way back, nobody would have a problem taking teams with 20 or more wins in any of those big conferences that were doing really well and saying they should automatically get the NCAA tournament. Well, why doesn't that same thing be extended to the sentiment here in the Big Ten? I don't get it. I think Iowa should be that last team to get in from there, barring a miracle. I don't see Nebraska going past the game today, but that would be something that could throw a monkey wrench in. And possibly Minnesota's loss might have opened up the door for the Hawkeyes, too. Indiana now waiting, and it's amazing to see what has happened. 4 years ago, I was in Bloomington, Indiana. I asked Tom Crean, you know, if he'd ever seen anything like it. You know, the Hoosiers were absolutely horrific. They couldn't put a win together. They were in shambles. The program was about as low as it could be. And they won one conference basketball game that year at the end. The place rioted. And I asked Tom, I said, Tom, have you ever seen anything like the support of a storied franchise for a struggling team like this? And he said, not only have I not seen it, I haven't even heard of something like it. I gave him 4 years. Just give Tom Crean 4 years. Couldn't have been more right. I'm proud to pat myself and break my arm, pat myself on the back for that one. 4 years later, Indiana is relevant. The one thing that cost Indiana down the stretch, guys, was the fact that they do not have a precedent of winning on that basketball team. Hard to say with Indiana. Very true. This team hasn't won, and this team wasn't winning. And they listened to the chirping and the chit-chat, the Twitter and the social media, which is the death nail of all teams in sports. I can tell you as a player, I didn't have to deal with it. As a coach, and I did have to deal with it, and now on the media side of it, social media is the death nail of all sports teams. And the smart coaches shut that stuff down very quickly, as did the Illinois coach this year. Early in the season, and it made a dramatic difference. I think Indiana listened to a lot of talk. I think they listened to a lot of talk, and that disrupted them, and they weren't very consistent, leading some people to ask if Indiana wasn't what we thought they would be. But I think after the Michigan win, and now with Illinois, I think they're as focused as they've ever been, And right now, you know, just not because they're the first seed, but because they really have their eye on the prize right now, and they played like it today.
Well, Gene, we're talking to Gene Walker of Indiana Talks, live out of the United Center in Chicago at the Big Ten Tournament, or boots on the ground, if you will, out there. Certainly a great tournament underneath the way, and we're going to obviously be having Gene on the show tomorrow for the College Saturday. We're going to be breaking down all of the brackets and all the different conferences who are underway in the conference champions. Obviously, IU playing for more or less pride today. I don't think anything's going to change. Obviously, nothing's going to change their Big Ten championship as they won it outright. But one thing for sure is that it looks like they're going to nail down that number one seed probably out in Dayton. Michigan and Wisconsin underway right now, tied at two. And also joining us as our official Twitter reporter, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, what's going on in Twitter land regarding the Big Ten tournament and other tournaments going on real quickly?
Well, we've been following the Big Ten tournament really closely, and I'm out here at Detour up in Geist, Indiana today with about 300, maybe 400 Butler fans, JMV from 1070 The Fans here. It's a really good time. It's great to see IU win. I do disagree they're playing for a lot more than pride. If IU does not win tomorrow, IU will not be the number one seed in the Midwest. It will go to Louisville, and IU will be a number one seed. They just won't get to play in Indianapolis.
Well, obviously, we'll get into all of that tomorrow. Obviously, Louisville is going to have a big game today. Gene, I want to get your thoughts on that. That's kind of up there in your neck of the woods. Anyway, Notre Dame and Louisville. Obviously, Notre Dame coming in at 25-8, having some great games this season, having a season they could definitely be proud of. And Louisville at 27-5. That's a game that a lot of people are going to be watching tonight at 9 o'clock, Gene.
I think Louisville has the edge overall in that matchup. I like them to be a number one seed. And I like the fact that Patino's got his team rolling pretty good. You know, Notre Dame has been very consistent, but they've also been very consistent in making you believe and somehow letting you go. And you wonder if the Irish can come through this year and really put a stamp on it. They're usually ranked, which they are. They usually have a lot of wins, which they do. And then they always exit the tournament very early. So for Notre Dame fans this year, I don't know if they're really all that amped up about this. Once the tournament starts, they're going to watch with one eye closed and hope for the best, because they know what happens when Dame takes the floor. They usually fizzle out in the big dance. Louisville, on the other hand, generally makes a run more times than not. But, you know, as up in northern Indiana, we'd all like to see, I mean, I'd like to see Notre Dame get up there and get something done for the folks here in South Bend, especially after the shellacking in the football game. So it'd be nice to see. But I think Louisville has the edge in that one.
Well, we got another good game going on. Obviously, LSU and Florida in the SEC. It looks like Florida State, the Gators, have that under control, 75-46. Also underway is the North Carolina State and Virginia game. North Carolina State up 7-4 over that. And they're in the United Center in Chicago. Michigan up, Wisconsin 4-2 with 15:42 left in the first half. So, real quickly, guys, we've got just a few more minutes here before we get wrap it up. And obviously, we'll have a full hour of college talk tomorrow. We're going to break down all the action that happened today and what's going on tomorrow. And then we're going to have another 30-minute update on Sunday. And we're going to be doing this throughout the month of March as Selection Sunday happens and as we get closer to the huge bracket busters. And we're obviously going to have some fun talking about that. But, Gene, out there at the United Center, get ready to go back in there and check out the Michigan-Wisconsin game. I don't think that there's going to be any really big surprises there, but you think Michigan's going to take this game? You think it's going to be a Wisconsin game all the way?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a Wisconsin game all the way, but I do think Wisconsin is going to muddy the waters down, and we know what happens when Michigan doesn't run the ball. When Michigan doesn't run the ball in transition, they're not nearly as good as that high ranking suggests they are. They are the typical transition team, which is good in the run, bad in the slowdown. I don't like Beeline's offense at all in the half court. I never have. I like it when they get going. Wisconsin's very good at keeping that to a check, keeping this game under 65 or 62 points per team. And if they do that, Wisconsin wins. If, in fact, Wisconsin forgets and thinks they can run with these guys for even 6 or 7 minutes, then Michigan should be able to get out ahead of them and get the job done. But we'll all see by about the 13-minute mark in the second half, the story will probably be told there because, again, does the transition team win out or does the half-court team?
Well, we're definitely looking forward to talking with you tomorrow, Gene, from United Center as well, and certainly looking forward to really breaking down these March Madness games. Now, Josh, I know you're our official Twitter reporter, and you're all over the board with us covering all the tourneys and all the games, but one of the games going on right now we want to get your thoughts on, Butler and LaSalle. Obviously, Butler up 2-0, LaSalle coming in 25-7, LaSalle 21-8, 19-21 in the first half. Any big thoughts in this game, Butler, LaSalle, any X factors that we need to look for in that game, Josh?
Andrew Smith needs to get on track. He's a 6'11 guy. He needs to be dominant inside. Yesterday, Dayton was able to drive to the basket with relative ease. Butler did win that game by 10 or 12 points. But, Gene, if you happen to see Dan Dockage in the United Center, tell him to check his Twitter and tell him to respond back. The Balance has issued an invitation for him to join us on the show to answer its critics.
Go ahead.
I just saw Dan about an hour ago, or not even an hour ago, a half hour ago, after the game ended, right as the game was ending. And I don't know. I mean, talk to me too, Bill. You got something to say about Dan? You gotta let your voice be heard. I've not heard much out of you about that, but you guys obviously have a bone to pick with him.
Go ahead, Josh. Real quickly, you got about 3 minutes to, and we'll talk about it in more detail tomorrow. But go ahead, Josh. What does Dan Dockage got to answer to, and what does he got to answer to his critics?
He needs to answer to his critics. He needs to come forward. And Dan Dockage is always talking about how he stopped Michael Jordan, how he's the great player who Michael Jordan couldn't score on. He watched the game on TV today, as did I. When did Dan Dockage and the rest of Indiana, who aren't IU fans, and decide to bash, trash, talk smack about Indiana University whenever the opportunity arises? Why does he go on these little rants about how bad Tom Crean is, about how Cody Zeller underperforms? I just want to know what IU did to cause Dan Dockage to hate IU.
Can I answer that?
Go ahead, absolutely.
Well, if you'll recall, Dan Dockage came to IU kind of on the downswing for a brief period of time there to be the head of, and whenever you're put in the position of de facto chief, you sort of get that, yeah, you've got it for now, and then when you don't succeed, we'll get the real coach in here. I don't think any coach in the world wants to be in that position. You sometimes take those jobs, but you know it's a fleeting thing. Unless you pull off some kind of a miracle. I know Indiana fans don't want to hear any criticism about it, but the fact of the matter is, by the time Calvin was done with that program, by the time White was on his way out and Gordon, they had issues. They had big issues. And that wasn't necessarily Dan Dockage being the only focal point in that. And I think he got a good share of the blame for it. And I don't think now he's going to have any good feelings about it. And that's probably what he feels. He feels like he was brushed aside. And everybody said, well, of course you were. Well, why of course? You spent your whole life being an assistant. You're looking to get your chance to finally get up the rung and get 2 or 3 years yourself to make something happen. Tom Crean got those years at Marquette before he went to a Final Four, and he got those years here at Indiana, which he's doing obviously a very great job. Dockage didn't get that same chance. So is there some bitterness? Of course there is. Is he wearing it on his sleeve? He does. And he doesn't take the corporate line. And quite frankly, $2, even though I love your zest, I think with your style and the way you do things and the way I do things on my show, you might actually appreciate a guy who does that. But maybe what you're looking to do is have him come straight out and just express those feelings and not do it in a passive-aggressive way. Is that what I'm getting?
Now, here's what I kind of want. If you see Dan Dockage, if I get him on the show, I want him maybe pester him a little bit, maybe go a little Jim Rome. I want Dan Dockage to come right out and say, I don't like IU. I just want to hear him utter the phrase, I don't like IU.
Well, guys, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time to get into that debate. We could do that tomorrow. We'll have more time to do that. Obviously, Dan Dockich is known around the IU community. Obviously, as far as his ability to call a game, I think he does a very good job on that. Obviously, you're right. He got snubbed a little bit and moved around. But let's look at other places he coached, like Bowling Green. Really didn't set the world on fire down there either as well. And Bobby Knight gave him plenty of opportunity to shine, and I don't know that he really stepped up to the plate. So I don't know that he necessarily got snubbed. Maybe he just was not the best candidate for the job, but we could get into that debate as well. Well, some of the other games going on today, tonight, Maryland and Duke going to be a good game. Obviously, Maryland coming in 21-11, Duke 27-4. The Big Orange and Georgetown, I tell you what, there's a battle right there, Gene. If there's ever been a battle of pride and arrogance, it's right there, that game there. 7 o'clock tonight, Eastern. Syracuse coming in 25-8 and Georgetown 25-5. Both of them coming in with a chip on their shoulder. And 19 certainly wants to show Georgetown Bulldogs that their bark is far worse than their bite. Gene?
Yeah, and after all of the history of the Big East and the Big East on the way out the door, this is looked at as the final game ever. Forget the championship. That's going to involve probably teams like Louisville and other schools that weren't there at the beginning. The final game of the Big East is Georgetown-Syracuse. It's the end-all, be-all in that conference for a storied conference. And these two teams obviously loathe each other. And I promise you, there's one game that you're going to watch for sure in all of the conference action that's going to have an NCAA feel to it. It's going to be that one for sure.
All right. Well, guys, I tell you what, that's going to pretty much come to the end of our update. We're going to be doing this tomorrow, obviously, during the balance. We've got 1 hour of college hoops, and we're going to be breaking down all of the action, and then 30 minutes again on Sunday. And as we get closer and closer to Selection Sunday, we're going to have, obviously, a very special Selection Sunday. Special, I'm not sure if we're going to do it on that Sunday or the very next day, but one thing for sure is the balance. Right here, we're going to have your bracket set, and I think this is one year where you definitely want to make sure that you spend the extra money to get yourself two brackets. One of them is going to be your bracket buster bracket, because we're going to see that happen. I don't know that we're going to see a 16 seed upset a number one seed, but we're certainly going to see a lot of action in the middle of the brackets, and there are going to be some big bracket busters this year. So you're going to need to have your bracket buster bracket, and obviously then there's the other bracket. We just go with the whole old common sense thing. But the one thing about March, and that's why they call it madness, it all goes out the door, the common sense. Over there in the Big 12, number 7 in Iowa State, tonight at 7:30 Iowa State against number 7 Kansas, Jayhawks. Obviously, we're going to try to have Preston Barr on tomorrow as well. Now, the last two games of the evening, any final thoughts on those out there at the United Center? Gene, we got Iowa and Michigan State tipping off at 8:55, and then coming up at 6:30 is Nebraska, Ohio State. Obviously, you talked about that a little bit a while ago. Ohio State should pretty well come in here and play this pretty well, but I like the way the Cornhuskers played Purdue last night. So any thoughts on that game coming up at 6:30?
Well, if they can take anything from the game before against Ohio State, where they only lost by 7 points, then you have to think that they possibly could hang in and give the Buckeyes a game. That's really the only way that happens. The momentum is completely on Ohio State's side. I see the Buckeyes moving on there. And then, of course, that Michigan State-Iowa game, I think it's the most intriguing game of the day, because Iowa is the true dark horse of this tournament. They were the team that even 3 weeks ago, people said they're not going to the tournament. You have to consider them now. Four of the five major categories that you put a team in for, Iowa gets check marks in four of the five. And so now what I'm looking at is, does Michigan State do what they do 1 year and not show up, have a flat half? If so, Iowa moves on. If Michigan State comes in here and has the attitude they want to put the hammer down right now, then you're probably going to see a different result. Michigan State certainly is one of those teams that can run the table. They've had a little bit of inconsistent guard play throughout the year, but they seem to be coming on here towards the end.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to have to do it. A wrap, guys. And I appreciate Gene's live out at the United Center. Going to be there all weekend for the Big Ten tournament and going to keep us up to date. Tomorrow, guys, we're going to talk to you on College Hoops right here on The Balance beginning at 10. The Balance obviously begins at 9. We're going to be talking racing then from 9 to 10. But from 10 to 11 is all College Hoops getting you guys ready. And while you're out at your prospective games or at your guys' bars, make sure that you guys are get on video. The Harlan
con los terroristas.
We have been getting all kinds of submissions from the Harlem Shake.
Hey, Tom, do you hear me? Tom,
yeah, I can hear you.
Right,
go ahead. Go ahead, Gene.
Sorry to cut in. Tim Hardaway Jr. just came off the court with what looks like an injury. It just happened a few seconds ago, and I think he is coming back to the locker room here in a little bit. I don't have a visual on him, but he did just walk off the court, mostly on his own power, but he was hobbled. And, yes, he's right in front of me right now. He is limping back to the back area. He's about 10 feet from me right now, and he is favoring one leg. It looks like he is maybe an ankle. I don't expect an ankle or a knee injury. If, in fact, that's big, that would be absolutely huge for Michigan. And if that boosts Wolverine fans, we'll try to – see what's going on with that.
Well, absolutely, and thank you for keeping us up to that. And obviously, follow us on our social media, G Balance, myself, and $2 Bill Josh will keep you guys updated on this injury as well. You can catch it on ESPN. The game is live there as well. Gene, we'll catch you tomorrow. You have yourself a good day right here, and thanks for joining us out there at the Big Ten tournament. Go out and have yourself a brew and some pizza, Chicago style, sir.
I will. Thank you, and we're going to have a great tournament, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow and really put the hammer down.
Put the hammer down. Or the hatchet.
Or the hatchet, whichever, right?
All right, guys, that's going to do it. The March Madness update. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Balance Radio Network. Now, this month, we can go back to work.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.